With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Today here on Sports Grid, here on this Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. Football will be with us fast and furious as I look at the sports landscape for Thursday and Friday. I'm excited to be with you here because I feel like we have an open slate on today's show. Normally we have something that's pressing, a championship game in the NBA, a major in golf. And then, of course, that makes for fun conversation, Davis. But I feel like on today's show, we can just let it flow a little bit. I don't feel like anything is overwhelming me in terms of sports. So we'll share some opinions. We'll have some fun with fantasy football. And we'll get into everything on today's show. Some baseball as well, I would imagine. How are you?
Yeah, it's whatever we want. You know, we have the 3M Open that teed off this morning. The PGA Tour's live scoring is all messed up, so I couldn't even give you an update on that tournament right now if I wanted to. Baseball, we're here in our summer lull. We're waiting for the trade deadline to begin, but, you know, it is kind of the dog days while we're waiting for these guys to be traded. The NBA championship has wrapped up. We've already done, you know, our recap of the finals. We've already looked at the futures odds. The Olympics are going to be started at, I think, about 4 o'clock local time for me tonight. So, yeah, it's kind of just going to be a go with the flow. Whatever we want to chat about, whatever we want to do on today's show, I think is good because there really is nothing hanging over our heads today on the show.
No, there isn't. So let's dive into some of the headlines. There's a little bit of other news that I want to get into here on the show as well. But we'll start off with an odd Instagram post last night from the darling of April in Major League Baseball, who is Yermin Mercedes. He announces yesterday that he is stepping away from baseball, saying, "I'm done." So this was very odd nonetheless. Got a lot of texts on this asking me what I know. Is there something to this or not? I have no idea, but I don't think that Yermín Mercedes is going to completely retire, but obviously something is going on personally with him, so hope for the best. Texas and Oklahoma will not renew their media rights, talking about maybe going to the Southeastern Conference. There seems to be some pushback there maybe from the teams in the SEC. We'll have to see how that plays out. The Seattle Kraken officially have an expansion roster, and the Dodgers take Billy McKinney from the New York Mets. Kind of a bizarre little move going on there. So a couple of things that I wanted to talk about here. First of all, there is another new headline that just came out an hour ago, which is important for Sports Grid, maybe not for everybody else. But the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, Davis, is now the Caesars Superdome in the first of what I would expect to be many stadiums being owned by either sports wagering companies or cryptocurrency. I think those are the two things that we're going to see a lot of over the next 10 or 20 years. So I want your thoughts on that. And then I do want to dive into this Yermín Mercedes a little bit more, because I have a feeling I know what you're going to say here, but I don't have enough information to know if we're being sort of accurate in the analysis. So let's do the Superdome first, and then let's get to Yermín Mercedes.
I mean, I promise you that I'll never call it the Caesars whatever. It will be the Superdome for me forever. I still call the White Sox Stadium U.S. Cellular. You know, I still call where the Trailblazers play the Rose Garden. You know, all of these things. It will forever be whatever the name was when I was 13 years old and becoming aware of what I still call Denver Mile High. I think Denver, if I remember correctly, it's Mile High Field at Invesco Stadium or something like that. But I'll never say these things. So on this show, look, Greg Cardano, if you guys want me to get the names right, you're gonna have to send me an email, because I am definitely not gonna make it a point to get the names right for these places. It's gonna be the historical name for me. And this is Craig, though. This is like what it's like overseas. All of the soccer teams over in Europe, they're all sponsored by betting sites. They're all sponsored by casinos. They're all sponsored by gaming something. Now, I don't know how much the stadiums are named after those things, but I know they're jersey sponsors. It's like all casinos and sports books.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, just note to FanDuel out there, I have no problem calling my house the FanDuel Craig Mish house whatsoever. I am totally good with that. I'll put it right outside my house, right? Big banner for everybody to see. No problem. Send over my information for that to happen. Yermín Mercedes, Davis, we know that he went through a little bit of an issue earlier this season where he swung on a 3-0 pitch. That's being created as a narrative for why he has decided to step away. We know his performance on the field, Davis, was very subpar for about a month and a half, and then they sent him to the minors. I don't know if I'm willing to go there right now with that. Do you think that was the reason why he's decided to step away? I don't know. I'm not there yet.
No, I mean, I think that he was a 28-year-old guy who played in independent leagues, who started out a season very hot. Then he started to play poorly. Then he got sent down. And, you know, I think probably a confluence of playing poorly in the majors, playing well in AAA, not being called up. And then, you know, clearly I think some personal stuff going on with him that has kept him from being called up. But I wish him well, you know, and I hope we get to see him play baseball again.
Yeah, and I think we will. I mean, what I'm reading is everyone is going right to the Tony La Russa. He was never the same since then. I mean, baseball's been playing hundreds of years here, and this sort of stuff doesn't really happen because of that. I think, Davis, you said it very well. There's got to be something else in play here. You don't just pick up, take your baseball bat, and go home with having millions of dollars at stake. No, that does not happen. But we'll keep you updated if we hear anything.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
All right, coming up next, we're going to dive into a little bit of the Olympics and more previews of the NBA draft. So stay with us right here on Sports Grid. We're back in just 2 minutes with our Thursday edition of the show.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mentioned the Olympic Games are getting ready to start, and it'll start this evening. It's kind of the tough dynamic, Davis, with the Olympics, that when it's not localized, meaning it's not in the United States or somewhere in our time zone, some of the events are problematic to watch, at least initially. Toward the end, it makes it so everybody can watch. But I'm not a huge fan of waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning for anything these days, let alone the Olympics. But I want to start with baseball here a little bit and take a look at some of the odds potentially to win. And I've been following this because they've been training here just above where I live in South Florida, over in West Palm Beach. But Japan is actually the favorite, as they are plus 110 to win the Olympics in baseball. Now, the U.S. players, you know, obviously are not made up, Davis, of all-stars here. So you're getting players like David Robertson and Todd Frazier, Edwin Jackson. The Marlins had a player last year who was with them who's actually the flag bearer for the U.S. team, or for the United States. His name is Eddie Alvarez. He was also a speed skater. He was an infielder with them last year. He is on the team as well. South Korea is plus 470. Mexico 7-1. Dominican Republic 7.5-1. And then we know Israel had that really good run in the World Baseball Classic a few years ago. So I wonder if that's baked into those odds here at 34-1. They have some former Major League Baseball players as well. So look, I mean, with our opinions here, there's cohesiveness involved, understanding who the teams are, what they're made up of. But I am not educated enough to tell people to take $200 and bet it on Mexico. I simply don't know. But I present, Davis, those odds to you. And when you look at them, what does it mean to you at this point?
Well, I just thought that these odds were pretty interesting because, you know, you would assume that baseball is a lot like football in the sense of like, well, it originated here in the United States. It's one of the sports that we can claim to be the best at. And someday on the show, we'll do a full segment on why the U.S. men are not the best in the world at soccer and why it's a complete joke and how that could be solved in like 10 years if we wanted to. But that's a different topic. We'll get into that later.
Sure.
But I always find it fascinating when the U.S. is clearly the best at a sport. I mean, look, no one's going to argue that if the U.S. men were not playing Major League Baseball right now, they would be the favorite, right? Like we have the best baseball players. Wouldn't it be fascinating to have an Olympic baseball tournament where Major League Baseball was not going on, where the Dominican had all of their players, where Japan had all of their players, right? Where Mexico had all their players, because there are a lot of great South and Central American baseball players. Like I think that would be amazing to watch. But I feel like just from looking at the odds, if I was going to take a stab on one, I feel like because we're here in the States with these sports books, the USA is going to be kind of overpriced and everything. So I feel like if I was just going to do a sprinkle just for fun to sweat it out, I feel like Mexico or the Dominican Republic would be where I want my money. Cause I'm looking at the USA men's roster and it really is, there'd be a couple names you would recognize, you know, former Dodger catcher, Tim Fedorowicz, things like that. But by and large, it is, you know, kind of AAA, AA guys. Hilariously enough, a guy from my neck of the woods, a small town in Kansas, Bubba Starling, who is a first round pick by the Royals, is on the U.S. men's team, which I just was very surprised to see his name there.
Yeah, and basketball, of course, is a completely different scenario, and we've talked about the USA men's basketball team a ton. There was some nervousness a week ago, but now all of a sudden they're rolling off wins in the exhibition. That should be no surprise. And if you look at their odds right now to win the gold, I mean, clearly there is no value here. They're minus 350, and if they win one game, Davis, and blow out the other team, this may be the last time you can even get minus 350. So I guess I'll need to know if there is a long shot here that could potentially upset them in the gold game, because I think that's what it would come down to. Australia is plus 850. We got Spain at 12-1. Slovenia is 16-1. France is 26-1. And then, of course, they had issues with Nigeria. So I'm guessing this is why the odds are 29-1. They threw them in there just to say, hey, they couldn't beat them the first time. Maybe they won't beat them the next time. So those are the odds there. I mean, yeah. So
I think that the U.S. men are actually underpriced because of those losses, because of the loss to Nigeria, and I don't remember the other team that they lost to, but I feel like there was kind of just a little bit of a panic that set in here. Okay, so they lost to Australia, Brett said. So, and Australia is good, by the way. Like, they are not a joke of a team. They have Aaron Baines, Dante Exum, Joshua Green, Joe Ingles plays for them, Patty Mills plays for them, and Matisse Thybulle, the 76ers wings, the 76ers wing plays for them as well. So it's like Australia is, I would maybe kind of compare it to, do you remember the 2008 Spain men's team where it was like Pau Gasol, Marc Gasol? I think they had six or seven NBA players. I would think it would be kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Slovenia is like Luka is playing for Slovenia. He is over there in the Olympics. But I believe their only other NBA player is Vlatko Kankar, who is like the 15th guy on the Denver Nuggets. I think probably the way to bet this event is to just bet the U.S. men because, you know, I mean, they really are just so much better. I mean, the U.S. men are so much better. But Australia is good. And if I was going to take a stab, I would take it on Slovenia. I would either bet the U.S. men or I would bet Slovenia just because Luka Doncic is playing for them. And, you know, who knows how, like, having that good of a player in the Olympics.
Yeah, it makes sense. And look, the other thing, too, is that you can actually, I mean, I won't stay up until 6 a.m. watching it. But after watching a couple of games, you may have a better idea as to which teams look good. And I don't think there's any issue with waiting a day or two on this, or whenever they play. I honestly have no idea. All right, so this weekend, another golf tournament coming up, and it looks like a lot of the better names are playing in this. In fact, they're at the Olympics, excuse me. So John Rahm is 5-1. Colin Morikawa, 10-1. Corey Connors is 31-1. And Emiliano Grillo, who I've never heard of before from Argentina, is, it looks like I'm looking at 100-1. So how does this work for the Olympics?
So the way that it works is the scoring system is relative, you know, we would be familiar with it once they get playing. But the reason why I wanted to talk about this was the odds just seemed very bizarre. It's extremely flat at the top. We have, you know, we have our guy John Rahm there at 5-1 at the top. But the rest of the men's golf odds are sort of bizarre. There's a lot of guys listed between 10-1 and 15-1, like way more than you would see at a regular event. Morikawa, Xander, JT, Bryson, Rory, Victor Hovland, and Hideki are all between 10-1 and 14-1. So that soaks up a bunch of the theoretical win equity from the market. And that left Emiliano Grillo at 100-1, and he is, I mean, you know, he's not a major champion. He's not like the best golfer in the world or anything, but he's a pretty good golfer. I mean, you know, he's a guy who makes cuts at major championships. I think he was even T10 at the Open Championship last weekend, if my memory serves me correctly. So I just thought, and some of the guys priced above him, I mean, you would literally not know these names. Siwoo Kim, Guido Miglizzoli, Carlos Ortiz, Francesco Molinari, former major championship winner, but his game has completely left him. So I actually took a stab on Grillo at 100-1, and FanDuel offers the best price for him. I saw Grillo at another sports book at 40-1. So I FanDuel is just hanging us a really good price on Emiliano Grillo. So I just really liked that.
Yeah, and we'll be checking FanDuel for all of the odds as we continue on here with the Olympic Games as they get underway. It should be very interesting to see how they move them back and forth. This is really our first Olympic Games with 25 states, 22 states, having legalized sports betting. And this is the first Olympics, if I'm not mistaken, for FanDuel having legalized Olympic sports betting. So definitely we'll be interested to see how the markets move back and forth. Of course, we'll cover it for you here on Fantasy Sports Today, as well as all of the other shows, including In Game Live, The Morning After, and no doubt The Early Line. All right, coming up next, we continue looking at the NBA draft. 1 week from tonight, we're going to hear from one of the players that went to my son and daughter's school, in addition to a potential top 10 prospect. So stay with us on The Grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today. So our show ends usually around 2 p.m. Eastern. In general, what happens for me is I have my kids coming home from camp and, you know, sort of getting ready for the rest of my day. If the Marlins are in town like they are today, I'll go to the ballpark. But yesterday, after the show was over, short time after, I chose to log on to the NBA's media communication site. And lucky for me, I found all of these NBA players who have been working out for different teams and talking about their experiences with them. They had a combine back in June, which I, of course, was completely unaware of because I'm in the middle of the baseball season. But fortunately, I learned a lot more about the players than I knew going into this. So hopefully this exercise will help you guys with the upcoming draft. Of course, on FanDuel, you can bet on this next week. So we'll bring in our producer, Brett Levy, for this conversation. But first and foremost, the only player, honestly, that I know best is a young kid named Scotty Barnes, who's a guard for Florida State. He actually went to high school at university school, which is where my kids go to school there as well. So I was really happy to see that he was involved in some of the draft discussion process. In fact, one of the reporters who covers the Toronto Raptors, I guess, is speculating that Barnes may end up going to them. He was on the call and asked Scotty about playing with Toronto or even playing somewhere else.
I think I'll be able to adjust to whatever place that they play, be able to come in, be able to bring a strong defensive presence, be able to just play most positions, whatever they play me at. I want to know how would they play me. But because I'm so versatile that I can do multiple different things on the floor, but I'm sure that they'll be able to put me in the right position and fit me in the right place.
I'm also, as we bring in Brett Levy, I'm also happy to tell you that I know a little bit more about Scotty Barnes, which is the fact because he played at that school. I'm also aware, Davis, that Vernon Carey Jr., who was drafted last year, but he played for Duke. I know that. He played for Duke for one season. And Davis, Tom Izzo was recruiting him at the time to go to Michigan State. So I saw him when I was picking up my kids at school and took a picture with him. Nonetheless, Scotty Barnes last year with FSU, 10 points per game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. I thought Brett said that he was not going to go that high. Maybe he's not in on him, but I see here, I don't know about you, 60-1 to be the number 2 overall pick, 26-1 to be the number 3 overall pick. And Davis is over under here is 5.5. Scotty Barnes going to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft next week.
Yeah, he is going to be a top 10 pick. I don't really think he has any chance of being a top 5 pick, though. I think the top 5 is locked in as Cade, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs. The team that could potentially take him inside the top 5 would be the Orlando Magic. But we have already talked about how we think the Magic really want one of these wing players. They really want one of these guards. I do not think that the Oklahoma City Thunder would take Barnes. I think they want Kuminga so bad. What would actually really mess with the Thunder is I just can see it now, the Magic taking Kuminga and Presti just tilting. Like, I don't know what he would do. I truly don't know what his backup plan would be. Maybe Josh Giddey, actually the guy that we talked about on Tuesday, would be the backup plan for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I think probably the right way to deal with Barnes's draft position is to take the over on 5.5, because I see more ways for him to fall than more ways for him to rise, just because the top 4 is so locked in. It's kind of like the NFL draft. Like, those first couple picks are so locked in. Like, we knew coming into the day of the NFL draft, it was going to be those 3 quarterbacks, top 3. There was not, Kyle Pitts was not jumping up a spot. Jamar Chase was not jumping up a spot. And I think this is the same situation.
All right, Brett, the floor is yours. Scotty Barnes from Florida State. I'm guessing you agree with Davis here on this one with his 5.5 draft total.
Yeah, I would lean on the over there as well, Craig. I think Kuminga slides into the top 5.
Don't say it.
In the other 4. Well, I'm sorry, Davis. It's probably going to happen. You look at who dominated the NBA Finals this year, and that man was drafted at 6'8", 19 years old, about 195 pounds. Kuminga, 6'8", 18 years old, about 212 pounds. So there's a lot of room to grow and a lot of raw potential with Jonathan Kuminga. And, you know, Scotty Barnes had a good year at Florida State. Florida State was a really good team. It's nothing against Scotty Barnes so much, just a little bit less of a, you know, raw clay picture to mold. You know, he's a little bit more developed in his game. Obviously played at Monteverde Academy as well, Craig. You mentioned the U school prior to that. So, you know, this is, again, a kid that's been on the radar for a long time. He's obviously prepared for this moment, and teams know what they're getting in the top 10 with him. He's not hiding. His film's out there.
Yeah, no doubt. It's different with high school or international. I understand that completely. Another player who got a year in at Texas is 20-year-old Kai Jones, their big man who has been working out. He was at the draft combine and was asked about some of his talents as he gets to the next level.
I feel like I'm very fortunate to play the game, so I'm very grateful for every opportunity that I've had to be a part of special teams and even be here at this draft combine. So it just comes from my love of the game. I love working out. I love working on my game, and I want to be the best version of myself possible. And I'm really trying to max out my potential. So that's why I really work so hard.
All right, Kai Jones, let's take a look at him. 6'11", center, 20 years old from Texas, 8.8 points per game, 4.8 rebounds per game, and almost a block per game in 2021. And Davis, to get into the top 10, boy, you could make $270 on a $100 bet. Seems to me that Kai Jones, from reading all the stuff yesterday, spent way too much time on this, by the way, is a guaranteed first-round pick. But nothing else seems to be guaranteed with him. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that the style of player that Kai Jones is very out of fashion in the NBA right now. I mean, how many teams need Kai Jones? How many teams need a 7-footer who doesn't have a ton of touch, who can't, you know, that doesn't really shoot, it's mostly dunks and rebounds? Like, you know, we saw Andre Drummond get cut and then get benched for Marc Gasol last season. And if Kai Jones ended up being Andre Drummond, it would be like the absolute best case for his career. So I don't love any of the bets on this guy. I definitely do not love the idea of taking him in the top 10. In fact, I think a surprise thing that's going to happen is this Turkish guy who played in the EuroLeague last season, Alperen Sengun, who played for Besiktas in the EuroLeague. He looks like the rising center. He looks like the guy who is going to go way higher than people are anticipating coming the first round of the NBA draft. And I think a guy like Kai Jones is going to fall pretty far.
All right, Brett, do you have a feel for Kai Jones at all?
So Texas was really an interesting team last year, Craig. They had a great point guard and three great bigs, Greg Brown, Kai Jones, and Jericho Sims probably all get drafted in this draft. Davis is right. Kai Jones and Jericho Sims, much more of the lob and rim protector mold. And, you know, Greg Brown, a little bit more shooting ability, shot some threes at Texas, actually shot pretty well at Texas. So Greg Brown's an interesting prospect to watch, but I do not like Kai Jones as a lottery pick. Someone may take him. He's a great athlete. He is also from the Bahamas, like DeAndre Ayton and Buddy Hield, who have gone in the lottery in recent years. So look out for the Bahamas national team. We just talked about the Olympics, but three potential lottery picks in the last 6 years here for the Bahamas.
Yeah, really, really cool, too, to see that. Of course, Jazz Chisholm on the Marlins, another Bahamian player. All right, let's close it out here with Moses Moody. 6'6", 19-year-old from Arkansas, and really good numbers last year. 16.8 points per game, 5.8 rebounds per game, 1.6 assists per game. FanDuel has him at +164 inside the top 10, and his draft position, Davis, is 11.5. So this is obviously a more realistic player to go into the top 10. Is there a path for that for him?
Yeah, I mean, Moody is a 3-and-D guy. What do NBA teams need more than guys who can play good defense on guards and wing players and who can shoot some three-pointers and who don't require the ball on offense? You know, a guy like Moody maybe 10 years ago would have maybe even been like a second-round pick or something. I don't know if I love the 184. Where I'm seeing him go in mock drafts is a little bit more in that 15, 16, 17, 18 range. So I think probably I don't love that bet. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if a team like the Golden State Warriors liked him, or if the Pelicans were like, look, we're ready to win now. We got Zion. Let's take him at 10.
All right, Brett, how do you feel about this? 11.5 as his draft number.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player, Craig. I think that number is like right on the money. He's going somewhere between the 9th and 14th pick. He's right at the end of that top 10. He's going to be a great right off the bat in the NBA. He's a guy that can shoot the three. He can defend. He's got good size for a guard. So team's going to really like him. I don't think he has the same upside as some of the players that we've discussed going potentially in top 5, which is why he's probably closer to this 8, 9, 10, 11 range. But great player. Moses Moody had a great year at Arkansas and really helped his draft stock.
Yeah, he did. And we'll see what happens a week from tonight as we get closer to the 2021 NBA draft. Okay, coming up next, we have afternoon baseball to discuss, some injuries again in baseball, which we're going to get into. But, of course, wild night last night between the Yankees and Red Sox. We'll talk about that. Take a look at the odds for today. Also a preview of the Rays-Indians game coming up as well. So stay with us on the grid. Davis and Craig will be right back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cashback is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cashback. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today, full slate of baseball games today on this Thursday. And of course, as we get closer to the end of the line of the baseball season, sort of pivoting away a little from daily fantasy. For those of you who are still into it, go to dailyrotor.com and Davis breaks it down for you every single day, gives you an opportunity to make some money. But let's talk about the Yankees and Red Sox. Last night, what a wild finish. I believe the name of the player that hit the game winner, Davis, was Ryan LaMare for the New York Yankees, a walk-off single at the end of the game against the Philadelphia Phillies. Yeah, I mean, it's been that year, this season, for sure, for the Yankees. Rob Brantley, Ryan LaMare, Asher Wojciechowski. Okay, sure. They're going to Boston, and this is probably the last shot for the division for the Yankees, Davis. Now, they could still get in the wild card, of course. Anything can happen. But they have got to go into Boston this week, I would think, and win 3 out of 4 to have a shot at the division. But Boston is minus 136 on the money line. Of course, the total is 9.5. It's been about 9.5 or 10. And yesterday, Brett Gardner, their longtime outfielder, talked about how the Yankees certainly are not hitting the cover off the ball. But with Greg Allen and some of their players running around everywhere, it has added an element to help them win games.
Well, we've obviously seen the last couple of years, you know, in an ideal world, you don't have anybody miss any time and you don't have any injuries, but we've been around long enough to know better now. Right. So, you know, our depth obviously is really coming into play, and you're seeing some of these young guys get great opportunities and really stepping up with their play on the field. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to see them get that opportunity and to, you know, bring some youth and speed into the lineup. And, you know, guys like Greg Allen and Floreal and Trey Amburgi, you know, I think that, you know, really Ryan LaMare, guys that, you know, are able to, you know, change the game with their legs and on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, it's just been fun to see. And obviously we've been playing pretty good baseball. So it's been fun to be a part of.
Davis, those are championship names right there, man. Greg Allen, Ryan LaMare. This is how we had it at the beginning of the season with the Yanks winning the title. I mean, you can't make this sort of stuff up. And look, to be fair, Davis, 2 years ago, 2019, Yankees call up Mike Ford, right? The guy goes on a tear. They call up Talkman. That guy goes on a tear too. Giovanni Urshela, who was he 3 years ago? He was nothing. So look, I mean, let me not poke too much fun. They seem to know what they're doing. They found guys. But let's look at today's game with Boston and New York. How do you see this one?
You know, I really, Craig, I never thought when we started this season I would be saying these words. But Tanner Houck is a little bit interesting. He has been generating a ton of swing and misses. And he did this back in 2020 as well. He was doing it in the minor leagues. So I think perhaps he has either added a pitch or figured something out with the non-sticky stuff, because he took a huge jump in K rate basically over the last 2 year sample we have of him pitching. He has jumped his K rate up from what he was doing in the minors by like 5-6%. And he's also done it while not walking anyone, which is, I mean, not like Tanner Houck is a guy we ever expected to be a big prospect. Mm. Like, he's a 45 future value guy, was never, although he was a first round pick all the way back in 2017. But yeah, he has been much better than expected. Jordan Montgomery has been a little bit worse than expected. I remember when we were doing these preseason shows, I kind of liked him. I was like, you know, he's going to win some games, right? LOL at that, being a Yankees pitcher, getting some wins. Don't think that's going to happen. Montgomery's been okay. But the Yankees lineup, I mean, we keep waiting for it, and we keep waiting for it, and we keep waiting for it. And what, a month ago, I told you, look, Craig, they're gonna get it together. Judge and Stanton are gonna get hot at the same time. Now, Rougned Odor is their third hitter. Brett Gardner is playing every day. Tyler Wade is playing third base. Esteban Florial is playing center field. Like, what are we doing? What happened to the New York Yankees? What happened to the Yankees? This is the team with the most money in baseball. This is a worldwide brand, and we're playing Rob Brantley. Rob Brantley's batting sixth. What are we doing, guys? I'm taking the Boston Red Sox. I am done being the Yankees defender on this show. I cannot believe that this is the team that they're running out on July 22nd.
You know what's interesting that you bring all that up, because all of that is accurate. Now think of the other 29 fan bases that are complaining about the same thing. Like, if the Yankees aren't doing it, how can any other fan base not, you know, like, argue about that? I see that here in Miami, you know, where everyone's like, how can they keep playing Joe Panic every day, you know? Like, and then you look at the Yankees and they're playing guys that used to be on the Florida Marlins 15 years ago. So I'm in agreement. All right, Tampa Bay, boy, they're going to be formidable again. I think they're going to make some trades. Next week's going to be interesting for them. They take on the Cleveland Indians. Very disappointing. The Indians just sort of fell out of it. Tampa Bay is minus 144. Cleveland is plus 122. Tampa Bay starts Louis Patino. So we know that Patino is, I don't think he, is he a five? Can he even pitch five innings in a game? Maybe. But boy, Cal Quantrill, he's been through the ringer here. Couple different teams, hasn't quite worked out. Look, Indians still feel they're in it, Davis. It's put up or shut up time sort of for them too. Next 7 days, they got to still be in it or they're going to trade guys as well. Who do you like tonight?
Well, I definitely like the Tampa Bay Rays. Louis Patino, to your point, actually just made it through five innings for the very first time in his last start. He did give up five earned runs, but it was against the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, literally, I think any starting pitcher could go out against the Toronto Blue Jays and give up five earned runs if they just miss on one pitch. Like, I don't know. I just feel like of all the teams to pitch against in baseball, if I was a professional pitcher, I'd be like, please let my start get skipped against the Blue Jays. Please don't make me go to Buffalo. Please don't make me go to Dunedin. Please don't make me go to the Rogers Center and pitch against this lineup. Like, I just feel like pitching against them would be so miserable. But Patino actually has generated the strikeouts. His walks have been fine. You know, not like his walk rate hasn't been great, but his walk rate has been fine. He has not, he's not had that big blow up start yet in terms of, like, you know, getting shelled an inning into the game and having to be pulled or anything. So I feel, and also the Rays bullpen, even with some of their injuries, has remained strong. I feel like this is an odd line because the Indians are not good. You're right. They still think that they are maybe kind of clinging a little bit to contention, but they're not even, you know, at full strength. They're playing, you know, Oscar Mercado and Ernie Clement and things like that. Jose Ramirez actually is not been playing for them the last 2 days. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if he's away from the team. I don't know if he's on the IL or what, but Jose Ramirez has not played for them the last 2 days. So they are much worse without Jose Ramirez. So I definitely think that I would be on the Rays side of this game.
All right, let's cap it off here with a game that really in the standings may not mean all that much for the Twins, but they made some pretty big news yesterday by putting, I think, one of the top young players, Davis, in fantasy for next year, a player I want to circle here, and I want to get to him in a minute. But first, let's look at today's game. Minnesota has Kenta Maeda on the mound. They're pretty big favorites against Andrew Heaney of the Angels, who has not been good, let's be honest. His total is 9.5. One player who will not be playing for the Twins, of course, Byron Buxton has been out. But yesterday, they made the decision to take their former first-round pick, Alex Kirilloff, out for the rest of the season. He has been playing with a injured wrist. He has looked really good at the plate at times. And again, former first-round pick, you would expect that. But Rocco Baldelli talked about how tough that decision was to shut him down for the season.
AK had a successful stint in the big leagues, but we knew that this was his wrist was an issue, and it was something that Again, he was playing through. We knew there could be a point in the year where he just could not continue playing through this. And the right and smart thing to do would be to go ahead and have the procedure that we knew was probably coming. I think waiting till the end of the year, playing through some more pain, being kind of hampered in his swing a little bit along the way, and then getting all the way to October, I think puts us in a position where we're a little bit behind the eight ball at that point, and we didn't have to allow it to get to that point. What our goal is now, and I think it's wise, is to let him get the procedure done, take the roughly 8-week rehab process to get back to full strength. We're not going to try to get him back into major league games this year. That is not the goal. The goal is to get him back to the point where he's 100%, where he can swing the bat pain-free. I'd love to see him in Minneapolis before the season ends to watch him a little bit, let him spend a little time around his teammates. He's going to rehab in Fort Myers for much of the process, but would love to see him back in Minneapolis. And then once he's back to 100%, he can go into the offseason with confidence and knowing that he's going to be fine going into spring training. We wanted to avoid that unknown of we bring him back, we rehab him, he goes into the off season, and then when he starts to ramp up, we do not want that being the first time where he's actually testing this thing out. So we want to test it sooner than later and then let him rest.
Davis, I was really impressed with this player, and I think that, and he was on one of my teams too, so I have to bid farewell to him. And he really didn't play as well once his wrist got hurt, and they also have Trevor Larnach. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that with the Twins being a disaster this season, I really want to tell people that for next year, I'm going to be in on them and in on their win total, because I just think that a confluence of events just led to this disastrous season. I think they are much better on paper than their record has shown. Kirilloff, hit me with some Kirilloff here for a minute, and then give me your opinion on the game today. Twins minus 144, Angels plus 120.
Well, it's just so hard to take away anything from a guy who was playing through a wrist injury. I mean, no injury will be worse for a Major League Baseball hitter than a wrist or hand injury. I mean, sometimes they have the hamate bone, guys try and play through that. Wrist injury, guys try and play through it. And you know, they retain the bat speed, but what they lose is the power. So they're just making a lot of weak contact, and the body can't even help it, right? Like literally the body, they can't do anything about it. It's just a neurological impulse. So I'm excited to see Kirilloff back next year, but I'm not going to hold anything from this year against him. I think you're maybe being a little bit unfair to Heaney. He has one of the widest gaps between fielding independent ERA and actual ERA in baseball. His home run to fly ball rate is way over his career average, and his ground ball rate is way down while his strikeout rate is up. So it looks like to me like he is getting a little bit unlucky. And I can't imagine the Twins being favored right now, because it's not like Kenta Maeda's having a good season either.
No,
and if
not.
You want to talk about like lineups, missing key guys, they're missing a ton of guys. The Angels, other than the return of Mike Trout, they have all their guys. Otani, Walsh, Stassi, they even have Brandon Marsh playing every single day now. I guess Rendon is still injured. They would greatly prefer to have Rendon back. But I just keep waiting. I keep waiting for my Angels to make a run, Craig, and it does not look like it's going to happen.
No, I don't think so. You know, what's funny is that I was taking my son to camp today. He knows a lot about baseball, tells me what's going on a lot of times. And he says, what happened to Anthony Rendon? And I'm like, you know, that is a really good question. Like, you know, players just disappear when they go to the Angels. It's the most bizarre thing. Like, you just do not hear from them again. Rendon, he's World Series MVP. He's winning a World Series with Washington, signs this mega deal with the Angels. And it's like, what's he done the last 2 years? Like, you hear nothing about it. He's a really good player, by the way, too. So kind of funny there. Okay, we'll take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports today. In less than 10 minutes, we have Chris's update at the top of the hour, and we're going to play some take 'em or leave 'em fantasy football style. So stay with us on the grid. We'll be right back.
Sp-
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With the British Open in the rear view mirror, we've got Olympic golf to talk about. But this weekend, we do have the 3M Open going on. And Davis, I know that you're locked and loaded for some golf this weekend. So where do we stand in day one of the 3M Open going on?
Well, this tournament is always a lot of fun because it's basically like loosing your favorite professional golfers on a municipal course. Right now, Scott Stallings is in solo first place, 8 under par. The play has actually been suspended due to inclement weather. It's rainy up there. We have Ricky Fowler, a name that I don't think we've mentioned on this show since the turn of the new year. Second place, 7 under par. Tom Lewis and Luke List are both 5 under par. Dustin Johnson is actually over par. He is on the 15th hole. Definitely did not see that one coming. Louis Oosthuizen made his journey over from overseas. He is 2 under par. Sergio Garcia also 2 under par. But I loved that Ricky Fowler update. I've been waiting for him to find his game. I actually am a Ricky guy. I've always found him to be pretty entertaining, pretty charming, and I've been waiting for him to find his game for quite some time.
Yeah, I always get Ricky and Rory confused. I think we did mention Ricky Fowler because I got confused. Didn't we talk about him where he didn't qualify for the U.S. Open, and I thought you meant Rory McIlroy? I think that was the last time my screw up that we did that, maybe. But yeah, so it'll be a fun tournament this weekend. I'll check out on Sunday to see who ends up winning. Well, that'll do it for our first hour of the show. If you're leaving us and you're going to get a bite to eat because it is lunchtime, I know for a lot of you, I hope you have a great Thursday. And make sure you tune back in on Friday for our show. You can also go back, by the way, and watch this next hour that you're going to miss on demand over on our YouTube channel because we're going to be talking about some fun stuff. We have fantasy football discussion, Fast and Furious, for about 30 minutes. We'll hit on James Robinson, O.J. Howard, a lot of players that you may be considering in your fantasy football league. So check that out on demand. But if you're staying with us, we have Chris. He's got the update here at the top of the hour. And then we'll be right back for our headlines, which will include some SEC potential news, maybe new teams joining the Southeastern Conference in college football. We'll be back on the grid in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.